Wow. Amen. Well, praise God. Today I want to share with you a very important message. Amen. Every message I share is important anyway. But today it's very important. Amen. The title of message is Why We Must Attend Camp Meetings. Hallelujah. Why we must attend camp meetings. Amen. Now, I do realize from the Bible that Jesus had two distinct habits. He must have had several other habits. But there are two things Jesus did which the scriptures attribute to a habit. Amen? Amen. The first one is found in the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Amen. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Amen. So Jesus had a custom of going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Amen. It was part of his upbringing. He was raised to go to church on the Sabbath day. Amen. Now, whichever day you call the Sabbath, doesn't really matter here, isn't it? Whether it's Saturday or Sunday or even Monday, what the scripture is saying is that Jesus did have a day set aside for attending to the Lord's business and for attending church, isn't it? Having fellowship with other people. He went there and he stood up to read. I mean, that means when Jesus was in the church also, he was an active participant. You know, Jesus was not a dull, laid-back member who did nothing or who was interested in nothing that went on in the church. Do you see? But a part of his custom was not just to attend it, but to do something while he was there. Hallelujah. And these are great habits that we must copy, isn't it? Followers of Jesus Christ must follow him in everything. And here is one of the things we must learn and copy about Jesus Christ. That no matter where you find yourself on the Sabbath day, you must find a group of believers and attend and be in fellowship with them. Hallelujah. He came to Nazareth, obviously means he wasn't living there. He had been raised there, but he had somehow moved out of that place. He was probably in Galilee or in some other place preaching and teaching and doing other things. Amen. But when Jesus came to Nazareth, he didn't consider it an opportunity to take some time off, because after all, if he didn't come to the synagogue on that day, no one would know he was even in town, maybe. And, you know, after going to church all the time, maybe he can take one day off and just rest, isn't it? There are some people, once they travel out and they take a vacation or they go somewhere, they assume that, you know, it's a vacation from everything. You know, so we don't pray, we don't read our Bibles, and of course we do not go to church. We do not find a church nearby. We do not find the nearest gathering of believers and associate ourselves with them. And often, that is the reason why relocation is a major cause of backsliding. Yes, that little window where people try to take time off is often the sinking window, you know. And by the time you know what is going on, your little break off your routine has landed you in a place where you don't want to be as a Christian. Hallelujah. So no matter where you find yourself, make a determination that wherever you are, on Sunday or on the Sabbath day, you will go to church. You will find a group of believers and join them in fellowship unto the Lord. Amen. No matter who they are, just find some believers. They may not sing like they sing in your church. They may not dance like they dance at your church. They may not have a Paul, and they may not have a fantastic Eden like we do have here. But if they are believers, and if Jesus Christ is worshipped over there, you must go and join them and fellowship with them, and it will be a blessing to you. Amen. Now, in addition to this Sunday church habit, Jesus seemed to have another one, which you find in the book of Luke chapter 22. So Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22. And the verse is 39. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 36, Jesus is instructing the disciples. If you start from verse 35, he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Hallelujah. That's why when the Lord sends you, you should go, because you will not lack anything. Hallelujah. It will not matter what you go without. It will not matter what you seem to be missing, because the Lord has sent you. Look at it. They were sent without all the essentials. They were sent without a purse, without a scrip, which is like a little bag. And they were sent without shoes, but they lacked nothing. They were sent without money. They were sent without material things. They were sent without all the things that we consider as necessities, you know, for which reason sometimes when the Lord sends us, we do not want to go. Because we wonder, if we go, how are we going to get shoes? How are we going to get a purse? How will we have money? How can going to such a place lead to prosperity? But I tell you that who sent you makes a huge difference. Amen. And he said, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Hallelujah. They said, we lacked nothing. Amen. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Then we come to verse 39. So in verse 39 it says, and he came out and went. And as he was wont, you know, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Amen. He came out and went as he was wont. Now, as he was wont is Old English for as his habit was. Wow. Amen. If you have a good Bible on an iPad, you just tap want and tap define, and it will tell you the meaning of the word want. Okay, so this want, W-O-N-T, is different from W-A-N-T, isn't it? Right? And it says want is in the habit of doing something, accustomed, you know. For example, he was wont to arise at 5:30 every morning. Okay, so he was wont means he had or was accustomed to or had a habit of doing that. Amen. Some of you are wont to quarreling. But I see you being delivered from that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some people are wont to eating. And eating a lot. Some people are wont to eating ice cream. You know someone, right? It's never ourselves. But sometimes the person you know is just you. Hallelujah. Right. So what was Jesus wont to doing? Do you see? And it says he was wont. He came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. So now Jesus is going to a mountain. He has just finished preaching. He's just finished talking and teaching his disciples. And now he's going to a different place, right? And what is he going to do there? His disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, right, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was about withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Amen. There appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I see angels appearing from heaven unto you to strengthen you in the name of Jesus. Now, this particular part of the verse 43, is very, very powerful. And that part of the verse caught my attention because how we could use angels strengthening us from time to time. Hallelujah. How many of you could use a visitation of an angel? How many could use some strengthening from an external source? How many of you sometimes find yourself lacking the ability to energize yourself? You realize that somehow you have run out of the ability to draw power from your own self. You know, you can't find courage within yourself. You can't find strength within yourself. You can't find encouragement within yourself. You have lost it all and you begin to wonder if this is the end. Hallelujah. That is when you need a visitation from above. Hallelujah. But you notice that visitations and supernatural visitations like that don't seem to happen in town. Amen. They are often a product of a going away. Do you see? A going away to an unusual place. A going away to a place where you don't normally go to. And you go there for the purpose of seeking the Lord. You go there solely for the purpose of seeking the Lord. See, one of the reasons why going away is beneficial is because often when you go away, when you go to a place like that, you usually don't even know anybody there. You don't have, you know, such company there in such a place. And so it's easy to focus on the Lord, especially when he is the reason for going there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when you go home today, the Lord is there and you may have some fellowship with the Lord, but he's not the reason why you're going home. Wow. Do you see the difference? He's not the reason why you're going home. He's not the reason why you're going home anyway. And you will happen to have some time with the Lord, but he's not the sole reason why you're going home. And so you will find your time at home is often divided between time with the Lord, time on the phone, time with others, and so many other things that come up just, you know, as you continue to live your normal and regular life. Hallelujah. Amen. But when you travel somewhere for the purpose of meeting the Lord, that is a totally different experience. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a totally different experience because this time, a time with the Lord is the motive. A time with the Lord, a season, a period with the Lord is the reason for the trip. Amen. And often because God is the reason for the trip, God starts responding to you. God starts visiting you. God starts interacting with you right from the time you begin the journey. You see what I'm saying? God starts to talk to you right from the time you begin the journey because now you are giving him some attention. Do you understand? Anytime you take time aside, anytime you decide or take a decision to give God attention, God starts speaking to you. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Let me show you a quick verse there. Exodus chapter 3. Do you know where to find Exodus? Exodus is like the last book of the Bible. Is it not? Okay. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Amen. Now, Exodus chapter 3 says in verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Do you see? Now, verse 4 is a very important verse. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, can you see that? God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Hallelujah. Now you can see that God just created a situation that caught Moses' attention. But the truth is that not everybody responds to such an invitation. Not everybody responds to settings that are created by God to get your attention. There are a lot of people who find different reasons, different excuses, and different reasons not to respond to what God has set up for them. But you notice that when God has something to say, he doesn't just start speaking just because he has something to say. God speaks to people who respect and value the setting he has created, do you see, and give it their attention and time. So you can see that Moses said, I will now turn aside and see. Now, this decision to turn aside and see, probably to walk away from the sheep a little bit, because he was tending sheep, you know. So maybe to step away from the sheep a little bit, to break his routine with the sheep, and to pay attention to something supernatural that God had placed before him. That particular act earned him the voice of God. He heard the voice of God. He heard the call of God. And what a difference it made to Moses' life. From that day forward, Moses was never again the same. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Bible says distinctly, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. So it means if Moses had not turned aside to see, God would not have spoken. God would not have called him. God would not have spoken to him. Moses would have suspended God's call for his life. I mean, his whole purpose and mission in life could have been aborted and could have been missed just by missing that little thing, which is that he would not take time off. He would not turn aside to see. He would not pay attention to God's prompting and the arrangements that God has made. It's not every day that you see a burning bush. It's not every day that you have something like that arranged for you. But God had arranged it and then was hoping that Moses would have some respect for what he had arranged. And not just shoo it away as another everyday experience or just walk past it and ignore it like we do many times. Many times God tries to get our attention by arranging special encounters for us. But we just treat the special encounters as ordinary encounters, as though we can repeat them next week. We can repeat them as and when we want and as and when we wish. Do you see? But Moses did recognize that this is not an everyday sight. That what I'm seeing today, the opportunity I have today, what I am seeing, what is before me today, is not something I can see tomorrow, perhaps not even later tonight. It might not be here. So he decided to turn aside and see. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him. God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." This is the beginning of great experiences for Moses. You see, Moses' life was a confused life up until this point. Up until this point, Moses was not even sure what he was doing. Do you see what I'm saying? Because Moses had killed somebody and had become a wanted man in the city where he lived. So now he had fled to a place. And when he got to that place, he got himself a job and then got himself a wife in the process. So soon his boss became his father-in-law. And he was working for his father-in-law. You know, so that's a young man whose life is just sort of, it's like life is happening to him as opposed to him living the life. Do you see what I'm saying? But that invitation by God was an invitation that sort of extracted him out of the confusion into God's will for his life, into God's plan and purpose for his life. That is when God began to use all his mistakes and everything he had to begin to build up a career and build up a life, to build up something for him that Moses never departed from until the day he died. Hallelujah. You must respect special encounters. Hallelujah. You must respect such special arrangements. You must respect such special moments. When God sets up and creates that opportunity for us, it's a visitation for you. Hallelujah. It is a visitation that can make a difference. It is a visitation that can start something in your life that will determine how the rest of your life will be lived. Hallelujah. Many people in our church, many people who are pastors today and so on, can trace the beginning of their calling to a camp meeting they attended. Because there are special encounters where, because you have actually removed yourself from your everyday routine and placed yourself at God's disposal, you seem to hear a bit more than you would always hear. Hallelujah. A camp experience is different from a Sunday morning experience. That is why Jesus had both. That is why Jesus had the habit of going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And then in addition to that, he had the habit of going to the mountain, going away and going to a place, because he knew that the Sunday, everyday Sabbath day worship was not a substitute for the mountain experience. That you can never attend the synagogue enough on a Sabbath day to eliminate the need for the mountain experience, the going away experience. The going away experience is different from the every Sunday morning experience. But a lot of people feel that the Sunday morning experience is enough. And they feel it's enough because they feel that they have done enough of it. Many pieces of Sunday, according to such people, equals one experience at the mountain. But the two are not the same. Hallelujah. The two are not the same. For example, I do not see an angel appearing in the synagogue. Do you see an angel coming to the synagogue? I don't see that one there. You know? So we all have moments. There are moments that we need, and those moments come when we set time aside to go away. And going away often requires sacrifice. Going away often costs money. Going away often costs something. It's not free because you're doing something unusual. Do you see what I'm saying? Moses turned away from the flock to pay attention to that burning bush. What if by the time he was done with the bush, somebody had stolen the flock? Or the flock had run away somewhere? It was at a cost. For Moses to turn away to go to this place, it was at a cost. Hallelujah. If it was at no cost, his job would be unnecessary. Do you see what I'm saying? If the sheep were okay without a shepherd, his father-in-law would not have hired him to do that job. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Have you ever wondered why shepherds watch their flock by night? Shepherds watch their flock by night. The night Jesus was born, says, while shepherds watch their flock by night. There's a reason why the shepherds watch their flock by night. Because if you leave the flock, you see, you may not come to find that flock. That is why those shepherds are in the Christmas story. Do you understand? Because leaving the flock by night to go worship Jesus was actually a sacrifice. Do you see? It was a sacrifice that God respected. But they thought the sacrifice was worthy because it is not every day that angels invite you to go see a baby that has been born in a manger. Wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. This is not an everyday sight. You don't see every day babies born in mangers. You don't see every day angels all over the place, angels singing and angels inviting you. Listen, when an angel comes to invite you to an event, no matter what you're doing, stop it and pay attention to the angel. Hallelujah. If an angel ever invites you to an event, stop whatever you're doing and try to respond to that invitation because it will make a huge difference to your life. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So camp meetings are very special. Amen. And I want to share with you 10 reasons why camp meetings are very special. Amen. Number one reason why camp meetings are very special. Number one is because it is a timeless environment. A camp meeting is a special environment because it is a timeless environment. Amen. It is a timeless environment. Timeless because, see, can you imagine that when Jesus would go to the synagogue, there would be a starting time and there would be a closing time. Do you see what I'm saying? There would be a time when the service would begin and there would be a time when the service would end. Whether God has moved or not. Do you see? One of the limitations of the Sunday morning experience is that we have to start and we have to end whether God has moved or not. So when we come to church on Sunday, our message to the Lord is, you know what? Lord, we have come. Praise the Lord. You have between now and 12 o'clock to move. If you have any movement today, if any movement is planned for today, Lord, you better get to it now and start. Sometimes I watch Paul as he's leading the worship And just about when the worship is beginning to engage us, that's when he breaks it. He actually breaks the worship at the time when we need it most. And I just feel sorry for him. And I say to myself, well, he can't help it.
Yeah.
Because he's got to make some room for me to preach also. I've also come here with my message. I also need time to preach. So we keep pushing each other off stage. You see, when he's through, the choir just pushes him off. And then I also come and I just push them off. And I start to do my thing. Until those guys who come after us start showing up. They'll start opening the door. And I also know that I have to end. You can't get much from God in such an experience. Are you getting what I'm saying? If this is all we ever had for our relationship with God, then we are to be pitied. We are to be pitied because all we get in such atmospheres is just droplets. Droplets. Hallelujah. If you want to get the most out of God, you must come before him, you know, with a certain sense of timelessness. There is no beginning and there is no end. The Lord, I am just here. Whenever you feel like it, just speak to me. Whenever you want to say something, just say it. Whatever you want to say, just say. That's what the term that is used in the scriptures, the Bible says, they that wait on the Lord, they that wait on the Lord, the Bible says, they shall renew their strength. Are you surprised that the angel of the Lord came to Jesus to strengthen him? Of course, the scripture had already promised that those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. So if someone has gone away out of town to go to the mountain to wait on the Lord, you should expect that angels will come and strengthen him because he will renew his strength for waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, waiting on the Lord, when you are the waiter, when you are the one waiting on the Lord, you are at his beck and call. You move when he asks you to move. See, when you go to a restaurant and someone introduces themselves to you as your waiter, and they say, well, I'm going to be your waiter and I'm going to be waiting on you, they move when you need them to move. Do you see what I'm saying? When you ask for a new napkin, then she goes to get the napkin for you. But she cannot stand there and say, in 5 minutes, I'm going to get a napkin. Then exactly 5 minutes, he goes to bring you a napkin. And whether you want a napkin or not, here is one for you. 5 minutes. And then he tells you that in 10 minutes, I'm coming back and I'm coming to replace your cutlery, whether you like it or not. And then he says to you, and in 15 minutes, I'm bringing the dessert, whether you finish eating or not. So you better hurry up. If you like what you're eating, you better eat it quickly because I'm coming back to take the plates away. Do you see how destructive time is to your time with the Lord? Yeah. And so the waiter tells you, listen, in this restaurant, we give people 15 minutes with their meal. Okay. After 15 minutes, I give you 5 minutes grace period. And then I'm coming for the plates, whether you are done or not. A long time ago, I went to a restaurant in a place, Leicester Square, it was, in London. It was a Chinese restaurant and it was famous for having rude waiters. I mean, it was just famous. People went there just to experience the rudeness, you know, and you would go out there and you'd see a long line outside and people were just waiting to experience it. So I went in there with some friends of mine and we were up there just waiting to experience the rudeness. Then the guy brought the food. I mean, we ordered our food, and so when the food came, and then it was now time to pay the bill. The guy brought the check. Then I asked him, I was just joking, and I just asked him, what do you do to people who eat and don't pay? The guy just looked at me and said, we usually beat them. We usually beat them. He was warning me in case I was getting any real ideas that over here we'll beat you. Then after a little while, to my surprise, I've never had this happen to me before in any place. The guy came to the table and said, are you guys done? You need to go out. Yes. They actually sacked us. They said, look, you finished eating. What are you doing here? You should go so other people can come. It's time to go. Yes. And it was just so funny, but they were doing it. Yeah. And that was the exact reason why you will come back. I mean, you see, if you are used to being treated well, you need this experience, you know, just to, it becomes something of a tourist attraction. Are you getting it? Yeah. So you need a timeless environment if you want to make the most of your relationship with God. Hallelujah. You need to be able to cut back on your everyday routines. You need to be able to cut down on all the things that engage you, that make you so busy, and make yourself available to God. Hallelujah. For a number of days. Amen. Number two, a camp meeting is special because it's a tension-free environment. Tension is created by the presence of people who know it all. Do you see? But when you're in a camp meeting situation, there is no tension. Because to start with, the sort of people who go to a camp meeting, by the time you travel to a camp, it is already humbling. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you don't often see proud people at camps. Yeah. It's a humbling experience. In fact, when you read the story about Jesus going to the mountain, you see, even by the time he came, the disciples were asleep. Do you understand? They had fallen asleep. That means he didn't go for 15 minutes. It wasn't a 45-minute encounter. Most people wouldn't sleep in 45 minutes. But Jesus went there for a timeless period, and when he came back, the people were asleep. You know, I mean, and asleep means that we came here with our master, and our master says we should wait. So all we're doing is just waiting. You know, the disciples never gave Jesus, you know, excuse me, Jesus, you know, maybe Peter says, I have to pick up my mother-in-law, you know, and take her to the hairdressers, you know, and so please, can you just give us an idea, Jesus, when you're going to finish this thing so we can know how to plan the rest of our day or the rest of our time? Can you give us an idea, Jesus? Just show us when are we going to close so we can, you know, arrange pickups and other things that we have to do. No, you don't have anything like that in a camp meeting situation, because people who come to a camp usually have come in humility. Do you understand? And because they have come in humility, a certain tension, which is often sustained by a sense of pride and sometimes a tint of arrogance. Do you understand? Where people arrive, you know, expecting with a certain expectation and a certain control of the speaker. Do you see what I'm saying? That is often eliminated. And when that thing is not there, there's always a blessing and people are blessed. Amen. Another reason is that it is an anxiety-free environment. A camp has an anxiety-free environment. Anxiety is created by the cares of this world, isn't it? And the cares of this world are legitimate needs and concerns of everyone, the congregation. Amen. Legitimate needs. When you go to a camp meeting, you realize that you are not so anxious, especially if you came with your kids. Some people stay anxious because they go to a camp and they leave their kids behind. Then every 5 minutes, they have to go and call to see if they ate their breakfast. Then to see if they ate all of it. You know, there are some people who ask, one day I asked a certain lady, so if she didn't eat her breakfast, what are you going to do? Your child is all the way in New York, and we are here in Chicago. If she didn't eat her breakfast, what are you going to do about it? Do you see? These are all little things the enemy uses just to create anxiety and to subtract from your experience so that you cannot say that you have turned aside to look for the Lord to start to speak to you in a certain special way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when you're in a camp, there is no anxiety. You know, I remember one time we went to a camp. When we came out of the camp, I mean, I was surprised to hear all that had been going on in the news. Because in this place where we were having the camp, there was no television. Yeah. So you didn't know what was happening in the news. You didn't know what had been going on and so on. And you feel so refreshed. You tried even one day without the news and you will see how refreshed you are. That's when you start to notice the effect that the constant outpour and the constant supply of bad news feeding you all the time with bad news, because it's not news until it's bad. Yes. So when you turn on the television, it's one bad news after the other, one bad thing after the other. If it's not bad, they won't talk about it. But it's just one bad thing after the other. Who is doing what and who is doing what and who has done what to who and who has done what to that person and so on. In the end, you are tensed up. You are so anxious. You are afraid. You are wondering what's going on. What's the world coming to? And you have to juggle that with taking care of your kids as well as doing what you are supposed to do or what is expected of you at your workplace and so on. We are under a lot of stress all the time without knowing it. Even sometimes you're not listening to the news, but they are talking. And some of us have a habit of turning on the television once we enter the house. It's light and television. We turn on the light and then we turn on the television. Some people do that because they are afraid of being alone. So they need these people talking. And then you hear them talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and they're ministering to you. And you are under a lot of stress. But when you go to a camp, you come away from that kind of stress. And you come away from the anxiety. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? And number four, it is a patient environment. It is special because it is a patient environment. When Jesus told his disciples to wait for him, they just did. They were just waiting. They were not in a hurry. Like I said, none of them knew when it was going to be over. But they were just waiting. They had placed themselves at his disposal patiently. And they were just waiting and waiting and waiting. Amen. Amen. When you wait on the Lord, you need patience. Patience is what it takes to hear from God, to experience his glory, to experience his presence. You need to be patient. Hallelujah. You need to be patient and just be waiting and waiting and waiting. Sometimes many different things happen, but it's not the Lord. You remember the story of the prophet in the Old Testament who was just waiting somewhere and then there was an earthquake. And he thought, this is it. But the Lord was not in it. You know. And then there was a strong wind. And he thought, this must be it. But the Lord was not in it. Then after all that, the Lord shows up in a still, small voice. You see, now your waiting and your patience has to last through all these episodes until you can hear the still, small voice. And you don't get to the still small voice in a hurry. You need patience. Hallelujah. You need one session after the next session and then the next session. And even though it's exciting and great, there might not be anything in it for you. That may not be where your message lies. That may not be where your encounter belongs. Do you see what I'm saying? And so the patience that is in camps, the patience itself allows us to get to that still small voice gradually and get to the place where you hear what God has for you. And that is why there's hardly anybody who's ever been to any of our camps who came back the same. We all are changed and transformed by those encounters, and that's why we continue to have them. Hallelujah. Then number five, it is a humble environment. Amen. Because it's humbling to stay and sit down for long hours. Isn't it, Zola? It's humbling. You're just there. You sit down and there is no time towards. You don't know when you're going to finish. And you're just there. Hallelujah. So it's a great experience that will be a blessing. Amen. Now, what are some of the effects? What are some of the effects? Let me give you two or three effects of a camp meeting and then we can close. Amen. Number one, camp meetings allow the word of God to be spoken with boldness. They allow the word of God to be spoken with what? Boldness. Amen. Now, one of the reasons why the word of God is spoken with such boldness at camp meetings than at any other place is because all our pride is often gone. And often the preacher is dealing with a bunch of teachable people who have been stripped of all the things that stand between them and hearing the word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look, even the way we dress up to church on Sunday, we dress up. You see what I'm saying? So everyone is a little bigger than they really are. You see what I'm saying? And Sunday, you have 45 minutes. First of all, you need to spend about 15 minutes or 20 minutes to bring everybody down a little bit. And then after that, you have 10 minutes to get your message across. And then you have another 10 minutes to wrap up. Do you see what I'm saying? But even the casual dressing in a camp meeting itself allows the preacher to start from an advanced point. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why we don't wear ties at camp meetings. See the way Pastor Charles is dressed today? We don't do that at camp meetings. You see what I'm saying? At camp meetings, it is you in the raw. It's just yourself. You see what I'm saying? I mean, by the time you come to Sunday morning, you in your heels. You see, not only are you bigger, you're actually taller than you really are. You see, you're actually a little taller. You see what I'm saying? So the word of God, it may not have it so easy. It can affect the boldness of the preaching. Yes. Sometimes the preacher is intimidated by who he's preaching to. I mean, the way the person is high, A and B, you have to watch your words. But not in a camp meeting situation. The word of God is spoken with boldness. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. So there's an atmosphere that encourages a bold speaking of the word of God. That is why at a camp meeting, people are able to make a commitment to follow Jesus the rest of their lives. People are able to make a commitment to give up their lives for the cause of Christ. People are able to make a commitment to say, I'm going to go to such and such a place as a missionary. I'm going to go and give my life to the people in another place, because you cannot challenge people like that on a Sunday morning. You know, you will spend the whole time trying to climb up to reach where they are. And by the time you get to them, it's time to close. You see what I'm saying? So the word of God is spoken with boldness. The second effect of a camp meeting is it allows the word of God to be preached extensively, which causes great increase in the number of disciples. It allows the word of God to be preached extensively. Hallelujah. You know, the word of God is like living, you know, and when it enters something, it causes the thing to rise. And if you don't stop it, it keeps rising and rising. Did I tell you about the day when I tried to bake? And I was trying to bake this bread and I put the yeast in it and I thought it was not enough. And I put some more, you know. You know, and I set this, you know, it was one of these, baking machines that would do everything together. And just, you wake up in the morning and it just hands you a loaf of bread. This time it wasn't like that. You know, I was actually upstairs in my room in the middle of the night when I could smell bread all over the house. And I actually thought that it meant the thing was baked. When I went inside, I saw that the machine was trying to bake whatever was left inside. And a large portion of the bread had escaped out of the thing. Yeah. There was a portion of the bread that was running away out of the thing. You know, it had escaped the I don't know what to call it, but there was like, there's like a little bowl or something like that. Yeah, and the bread had managed to open the lid of the thing and had escaped. So the machine had decided that, look, if I don't bake whatever is left now, there will be nothing. So the machine started baking whatever was left. When I got down there, I wasn't even sure how to handle it. Is this a washing problem? What am I supposed to do exactly here? But the word of God is like that. It's like the living. If you allow it and give it sufficient time, you'll be amazed at how much revelation can come out of one simple verse. Often our revelations from the word of God are terminated by the amount of time we have for it. So the word is not allowed to increase, and the word is not allowed to marinate enough. The word does not get the chance to multiply. But you see that according to the scriptures, Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. This is, they were priests already, now they were getting converted. Do you see? Isn't it interesting how the word of God can multiply? You know, the word of God can multiply. The word. Sometimes I've been to camp meetings which are just about one verse in the Bible. Yes, and you spend 2-3 days just being taught on the same verse. And the word of God is just increasing and increasing and increasing. So if your whole Christian life is just based on Sunday experiences, then you're really missing a lot. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're really missing a lot. Then number three is camp meetings allow many hours of prayer to take place. Camp meetings allow for many hours of prayer to take place. Because one of the things about prayer is not that we don't pray, but sometimes we don't pray enough. Do you understand? And doing enough of something makes a difference, isn't it? Often things don't work, not because we didn't do anything, but what we did is not enough to make a difference, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, if you're hungry, what do you need to do? You need to eat. But if you just eat and you don't eat enough, then you're still going to be hungry. And you'll still be scrambling for food, and somebody's going to ask you, didn't I see you eating a short while ago? And you say, yes, you're right. I was eating. So why are you looking for more food? The problem is you didn't eat enough. Wow. Amen. Amen. And in our regular, busy, everyday, Monday to Friday, even Monday to Sunday lives, there's not much room to pray enough. To pray enough to make a difference. To make a difference that is significant enough for us to start feeling a change in our circumstances. That is why Jesus would go away and go to a place and pray for a long time. And you see it. As soon as he went there and prayed and prayed and prayed, there came an angel from heaven. Amen. Many times our prayer times don't last long enough for the angel to get to us. Just as the angel is coming, it's time to go because you have to go to work. And I don't blame you, but that is why you need to include in your life seasons like this where we go away, where nobody is asking you to come to work at 8 o'clock, where you are not required. If we have to pray for half the day, so be it. So camp meetings allow for praying enough. Amen. And then finally, camp meetings allow important interaction with believers. Important interaction between believers. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. And all that believed were together. All that believed were together. All that believed were together. And had all things common. Amen. So one of the effects of camp meeting is the opportunity to get or be able to interact with other believers. And interacting with believers is good. Interaction with other believers is really good. In fact, interacting with other believers can be really, really, really good. Especially if you are single, interacting with other believers can be really, really, really good. Boo-boo, what do you think about that? Well, I called out your name because I saw you move. Amen. Yes, if you're a single person, you need some good interaction with other believers. Isn't it? You need some good interaction with other believers. Do you see? And people who share some commonality with you. Notice that all that believed were together, and the result, they had all things common. Do you understand? When you're together with like-minded people, you are likely to be able to interact with like-minded people. And that takes away at least half of your problems if you really do get together. Do you understand? Sometimes when people get together, their enemy... This is Vision 244. All right. Yeah. It's a good vision. 244, right? Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes the biggest enemy, do you see, of people, two people who are trying to live their lives together, is that they do not have all things common. They have too many things uncommon. Do you understand? Yeah, and they have so much uncommon because they are not believers that have been together. Do you see what I'm saying? And that can be a problem. That is why a good place to find a beloved is in the church environment. And in the camp meeting situation, when you meet people, they are themselves. Do you see what I'm saying? Most of them are not wearing high heels. You get to see them, their real height. You know, real height. You get to see their real faces. You get to see them as they really are. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, because they're going to be very tired if they start wearing heels and stuff. You see what I'm saying? So they get easy shoes and you see them walking. And when they are wearing easy shoes, then their real walking style actually comes out. And you know who you're dealing with. Anyway, but I think that interaction with believers is very valuable. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. So I want to encourage all of you to make sure that you come to this upcoming camp meeting. Amen. Make sure you're there. Do not miss it for anything, because it is a time. When the Lord sees that you have taken time off work, time off school, time off your daily routines to pay attention to Him, God will meet you and God will speak to you. I said God will meet you and God will speak to you. God met Moses and He spoke to him. He spoke to him a word that changed his life forever. A word that sent him to a place where he never dreamt he would go to. A word that gave him an assignment he had never envisioned for his life. The word of God came to him because he turned aside to look. Took time off. Aside, away from everything. Just to look. Jesus had a visitation of angels coming down to strengthen him. By the time he left that place, he was ready to face even death on the cross. Think about it. How much strength the angel must have given to Jesus. Because from that point on, he was so strong. He was so strong. Even when people had come to arrest him and Peter was trying to defend him. Remember, Peter showed the Lord, we have two swords. You remember that? Yeah, Peter was showing. When Jesus said, now go buy a sword, he said, don't worry, we got you covered already. We brought two of them here with us. When the guys came to arrest Jesus Christ, before Jesus knew it, Peter had slashed off somebody's ear. And Jesus said, you don't have to do this. You don't even have to defend me. I have strength to go through this. Yeah. Many times, what you need is not an avoidance of temptation. Because you need temptation. The trying of your faith will bring you patience. But the thing is that what you need is strength to endure it. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, if you have studied enough, an exam is not a problem. Because you need an exam to be promoted, isn't it? So the reason why we are afraid of exams is often because we haven't studied enough. We are afraid of failing. You see, so the solution is not in not having an exam. The solution is having what it takes to overcome the exam. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so there are times when God will spare you a certain temptation or a certain trouble. But there are other times when God, you just have to go through it. God has to allow you to go through it. There's no mother who loves their child so much that they keep them from the test at school. You cannot love your child so much that anytime there's a test at school, you try to withdraw them from the test because you don't want them to go through anything difficult. You love them, but you have to give them a pat on the back and say, go face the test, because that's the only way you're going to go ahead. So that is why God doesn't remove certain tests. That is why God doesn't remove certain trials. But what God will do for you is to strengthen you to go through it. Just like what a mother can do for her child, help him with his homework, teach him at home, spend some time with him, and strengthen him for the test instead of withdrawing him from the class because there's an exam. If you do that, your child will never advance. They'll never do well. God wants you and I to do well. That is why God will allow us to face certain tests. That is why God will allow us to go through certain trials and temptations and difficult situations. But his plan is to strengthen you. Are you going to make yourself available for God to strengthen you? That's what we need. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, everybody, and just pray and ask God for his strength and say, Lord, please help me. And there are some of you who need to pray and say, Lord, please make a way for me this morning. You need to pray and say, Lord, make a way for me to be able to attend this upcoming camp meeting in Memphis. Make a way for me, Lord. Touch my boss. Touch the people whose permission I need to be able to get away and go away a little bit. To go away a little bit. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. We need your strength, Lord. How we need your strength, Lord. How we need angels to strengthen us. How we need strength from above. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the blessedness of camps. Thank you for the opportunity that you set up for us to go away and wait on you. To go away for the purpose of beating you. To turn aside and pay attention to your voice. We look forward to times of intensive interaction with you. Times of engaging interaction. Times with you that leave us never again the same. We're anxious, Lord. We are excited, Lord. And we pray that your blessing will be on this camp. We pray, Lord, that you make a way for every one of us, anyone, anywhere, hearing me this morning, Lord. We pray that you will make a way for us, that we may go and worship and go and serve and go and be with you and hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. This morning, before we close, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I need Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I want to be sure that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Or you're saying, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I've done this before, but somewhere along the line, I lost the fire of it all. And I want my fire rekindled. I want to return to the Lord. I want a new relationship with Him. I want to start over with the Lord. Maybe that is what is in your heart this morning. I want to pray with you. If you're here like that, raise up your right hand also and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? Is there anyone here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart
that you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me and cleanse me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen.